Hey friends, greetings wherever you are at today. Welcome to my daily update video. Just you're well. Today's Monday, my day off, so I am out drinking coffee. Excuse the light here, it's very bright, but whatever, God is good. Had a good weekend. I was away this weekend in New Hampshire, and I just really was encouraged. Had a couple of great meetings Saturday, Sunday morning in a church in southern New Hampshire, near Manchester, but just great to be with hungry people as well. Great to see the flow of the Spirit in a church, and it was a blessing to be there. I believe people got blessed, but I was blessed being there as well. And we had a Super Bowl party yesterday evening with some friends, so Today Leah is off with my kids and a couple of my French nephews who are over up to right up into Maine. They're going to be snowing there, so I'm alone at home for a couple of days. Hey, in a moment, I want to share with you something I've been thinking about that will really, really help you, both in your relationship with God, but also, in relationship, even more so in relationships with people, with human beings, that in a moment, but couple of quick housekeeping things. Again, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please consider hitting the subscribe button down there. Do check out all of the links below. And if you are in the New England area, why not visit one of the three churches I lead here, Sturbridge Worship Center, New England Fellowship, and Berkshire Christian Fellowship. Details below. I have an online ministry school. We actually have a course on offer, 80% off at the moment, on Revelation, so check that out below. And lastly, I wanted to mention, I will be doing a couple of European trips in the spring. So I'm going to be ministering in the UK in March 8th through 18th. I have a couple of dates open if any friends want to organize something there. And also, I'm looking at doing a missions trip, I think, to the nation of Ireland in the month of May, early May. So if you're interested in coming on a supernatural mentoring and missions trip in the month of May, drop me a line. I hope to go public with that in the next few days. So, great. Let me just share a quick thought with you as well. That I think if you're honest, we'll all recognize. But I think at times this principle trips us up, often. And I want to talk about how we navigate or circumnavigate this problem in our life. Let me set it up. I was thinking about this today. People don't deal with us as we are. People don't react to us as we are. People usually deal with us. People don't see us as we are. They see us as they are. Yeah? So often, whether we're talking about how we see God or how we see other people, how we see them actually is often much more a projection of who we are and what's going on the inside of us, that we project upon the canvas of who they are. And, it's an interesting thing. Just let me speak for a moment as a church leader, that so often I am not dealing with, I'll have a person in a room or a person in a situation. I'm trying to help, trying to move a situation forward. And it took me a while to realize this, but I'm not dealing with, it's like they're actually in a room and they're talking, they're not talking to me. They're talking to the perception of me or the misperception of me. Or they're talking to maybe some things they've seen and a whole bunch of gaps. And they, or Satan, or whatever, life, past memories, whatever, have filled the gaps. And I want to be clear, we're all guilty of this. I have done this before. I'm probably doing this somewhere right now. I probably will do this sometime in the future. Again, I'm interested in how we can learn and come from that. In a way, what religion does, religion comes to God. And it sees God as we are. It both makes God in our image and our likeness. You know, think about this. Rather than the reason God doesn't want us to make an idol, whether that's some piece of wood or some philosophy, some mind construct of who God is, God doesn't want us to make him in our image. Rather, God wants to transform us into his image. That's really worth writing down and thinking upon. And so often when we come to the Lord, we're coming with our fears, our rejection, our preconceived ideas. I was reading that parable today, the parable of the talents, and at the end of it in Matthew 25:24, the man, if you will, comes to the master, the one who took the talent and hid it in the ground. And he comes, and it's like he's saying, I know you're harsh, I know you're cruel, I know you're not a good master, I know that you will deal with me badly, when actually the master was really generous and kind and a man of good faith. And yet the guard comes and he says, I know you to be like this. On what basis did he know him to be like that? God is not like that. But for instance, when we come to God thinking, you're mad, you're harsh, the God is like some 300-year-old man with a beard and a stick. He wants to whack me on the head all the time and have a guilt relationship with me rather than a cleansing, made new relationship with me. When we come to God with that construct, a false construct, but still a construct inside of us, that's the God we'll end up dealing with. And I think most of us see that, hopefully, in our relationship with God. But I want to suggest to you, so often that's what's going on with people around us. And it happens especially more with people in authority, people who have a place of authority or influence over our lives. And again, it's hard to unpick that thing. What's actually really hard is when somebody have so like embedded the heart in some viewpoint of how somebody is. If somebody has to, you know, it's an interesting thing. I rarely send somebody a message and say, hey, would you come and see me in my office? Yeah, quite often I want to do that. Let's say on a Sunday, I think, oh, I didn't get a chance to talk to Charlie. So I message Charlie and say, hey, Charlie, can we get together? And Charlie goes, yeah, Friday. And I'm thinking, great, I want to promote Charlie. I want to thank him for all he's done. I want to say what a blessing he is. And sometimes Charlie sits there from Sunday afternoon when the text came right through to Friday and literally is terrified and thinks every headmaster's office, every cop that ever pulled him over, every bad leader, every authority figure in his life is projected upon me. And sometimes Charlie will come into my office and, you know, with every wall up, every barrier up, every protection up, and going and in a way amplify and make a caricature of somebody in that circumstance that actually isn't right. Again, I want to be clear, we all do this. Why do we do this? We do this because we're broken people, at least in our souls. We do this because we're all actually in recovery from rejection. Whether we admit it or not, we all are recovering, you know. We're all on a spectrum of recovery from rejection. And the key to getting free from rejection is not claiming you don't have it, but rather asking God to help you see it and letting Holy Spirit work through the layers of that onion, bringing to bear the acceptance, the love of God, accepted in the Beloved, into that place. But so practically, what do we do now? I know. Here's a few thoughts that have helped me over the years. Number one, it's actually a really practical, helpful thing in our modern technological age. I never have important conversations unless they're face-to-face. Yeah, now, I use text and every social media platform, all these things. I use them to say, hey, can we get together? Or hey, I'm running late. Do you want me to pick up a coffee? Those kind of things. I never use them to carry anything of weight, anything of importance, anything relational, anything that's going to touch the heart. Rather, sometimes it's better to do a phone call, better to do a FaceTime, Skype, you know, video conferencing. But there's nothing like being in the room. There's nothing like being in the room. And there's nothing like having the time to talk through these things without a clock hanging over your head. And there's something about speaking live that we never catch in any text, in any you know, electronic communication. And again, the real secret, it's really worth thinking this through, is the reason most people don't get that is that if they're going to write to somebody, they know exactly, you as the writer, you as the author, know exactly where your heart is, where your intentions are. You know what you mean by the words that you choose, the words you express. Now, the recipient, the receiver of that message doesn't hear any heart, because there's no heart in text, doesn't hear your intention, doesn't see the facial expression, the smile, the appreciation, the light in the eyes, anything like that, and gets that message. The problem is that message doesn't usually tend to live in isolation as a message. You know, if I were to send you a text today that said 2 and 2 is 4, well, great, it's hard to read something into that. But if I send you a message that says, I want to meet with you and talk about what's been going on, you know, the problem there is our own brokenness, and never mind Satan or other people, but just let's just talk about ourselves. Our own brokenness projects into those things, and the information we would receive if we're in a room, we would usually add to that, often from the brokenness of our own soul. So, you know, learning to do relationship well in person with time is really good. Learning to practice that thing when you think somebody's thinking something about you. You know, in a way, practice 1 Corinthians 13. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love never keeps a record of wrong. I want to choose. Let me say this carefully. I want to choose to be naive. I'd rather believe the best about somebody until I've been with them in the room and they've convinced me that actually they're not acting in good faith or they're not doing something well. I want to go into every meeting believing you are absolutely awesome. I want to hear you. I want to understand you. Then I want to repeat back to you what I think I've heard about you. And that I want to hear you say, yes, Graham, you actually really have understood me. What you repeated back to me of what I've said is a fair representation of how I actually am. So I think God wants us to grow. I think he wants us to learn how to do relationship well. Again, I'll end with this, but I think the danger, I've never met anybody who doesn't think they do relationships well. I can't think of anybody who actually doesn't think, hey, I'm kind of better than the average bear at this. I do this really well. I've never met anybody who doesn't think they do relationships well. I've never met anybody who just hasn't blown up a whole bunch of relationships through relational faux pas, relational skills in that way. So here's an empowering thought. It's actually good. It's empowering to think, you know, I don't do relationships that well. Again, some people, they're not mature enough to accept that one. But here's the point. If we can actually, rather maybe than even say we don't do it well, say we're learners, we're growing in this area, we need backup, we need safeguards. Let me give you an analogy of that. I've been a musician for many years. I earn my living, literally pay my rent playing music for several years. So I know something about it. I'm not the best. I may not even be average, but I've got some skill sets in that area. Here's the thing. I notice this about myself. The older I get as a musician, or the more I get around really skilled musicians, the more I know they don't believe they have great timing. They don't believe they have perfect pitch. They rely, you know, they'll play with a metronome. And my point is, the really great musicians want to play with backup, with support, with disciplines around them to help them improve. Bad musicians, in a way, they're so bad that they don't know what they don't know. So they think they have good timing, they think they don't need these disciplines in place. And I would say, if we're going to do relationships well to the glory of God, have your own, pray and develop your own set of safeguards, your own set of principles, your parameters around how you do these things and how you don't do these things. It may not be the ones for somebody else, but I really encourage you, I think there's a lot of wisdom in this, that let's learn to realize whenever we engage with another person that there's every relationship is a broken relationship because we have two broken people trying to do relationship one with another, and that every marriage is a broken marriage because we bring our brokenness to it. So if we can acknowledge that and work through that, if we know we're the walking wounded, if we know that myself and the person I'm dealing with, we both walk with a limp, we won't kick each other, and hopefully we'll build from that place and allow God to bring healthiness and wholeness to our souls. Hurt people. Boom. So I hope that's helped. Love to hear your thoughts on that in the comments. And again, check out some of the links below. Wishing you guys a wonderful day in the kingdom of God.